You know, we set aside the date of the 4th of July, and rightfully so, as a time our nation won its freedom. Can you tell me when you won your freedom in Christ? That ought to be a date with you too. Amen. Jesus said you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And that's the greatest freedom there is. Open your Bibles with me to the book of Isaiah this morning. I want you to go into Isaiah chapter 59. I've preached a lot of 4th of July messages, and this one may sound somewhat similar for some of you that have been here with me 100 years. But don't have time to expound the chapter like it deserves, but taking an unusual place this morning, Isaiah 59. And we want to reference the whole chapter. I'll probably not read the whole chapter. I'd like to kind of talk to you on the subject, the dawn follows the darkness. I think you'll see it in the chapter here. We pick it up in verse 1 and 2 of chapter 59. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. What we have here, beginning through some of these verses, is we have itemized a lot of the reasons, a lot of the sins that Israel's in trouble with God. Now he says it's because of their iniquities and their sins that it's not that his ear is stopped up, not that he can't hear, but the sins have hid his face from them. And so you have a list. I actually kind of feel sorry for him as I read the dilemma and the confusion that they're in. You take it here in verse 9. Therefore is judgment, talking about good judgment, far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar like bears and mourn like soar like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far off. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgression and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth. And he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. It's kind of sad to see the hurting. See the Jews at this point here. Isaiah written probably about 800 years before Christ was born. He was a great prophet. He had access under the kings, and yet he had a great burden for the people of Israel, and he warned them about their sin. And yet the book of Isaiah has a lot to do with prophecy and with future. And it tells us about the Redeemer and all the predictions of Isaiah. What a great message it is. What a sad time that the people are in. Because they're not heeding his message, and they're in a time of darkness. Let me say this: darkness is related often in the Scripture to something that's bad. Do you understand that even in the church age, we're called the nighttime? Truthfully, we say a lot of good things today, yeah, but the Lord looks on us and says there's a lot of darkness. A lot of darkness here in the day of Israel, and they were wanting to see the sunlight. They wanted to see the sunrise. They wanted to see the victory. They wanted morning to come. Did you ever get sick and think the night was just lasting too long? You ever done that? I remember as a kid thinking if it would just get to be tomorrow, it'd get better. You ever remember that? I think we all have. I went to bed the other night, and my back was hurting a little bit, and the thought popped in my mind, it'll be better tomorrow. And I thought, you know, you used to say that when you was a kid, when you'd go to bed and get sick. I don't know what's wrong with my back. I picked up something heavy, lawnmower or cement block or move my wife's purse off the couch or something. I'm not really sure what it was, but sure enough, the next day it was better. Seemed like when the sun rises, things get better, amen? And Israel here is mourning for the sunrise. They're looking for the night to end and the darkness to fade away. But the darkness was brought on themselves by their sins that separated themselves from God. And they were mourning. It was their pain, as you read it here, verses 9 through 15. And as I make a comparison for the, as I think about the fourth and think about our nation, and I make a comparison to our nation today, I can list a lot of causes, and I see a lot of causes in the verses here. But causes that we today are groping in darkness. We're walking as blind men. We're groping for the wall as though we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as though it were night. And that well describes our nation and the complexity of our problems today, and seemingly no answer. Certainly Washington don't have the answer. They don't even know the questions, much less the answers. And we can see that sort of trouble that we're in. And let me just, you know, I could itemize it all morning. I don't want to do that. But I want to say it's dark today because America's lost its patriotism. You've been hearing the music this morning. I appreciate the folks that have done that. Love America, lift up America. But listen, doing something is more than waving flags. And it's more than singing a few songs or popping a few firecrackers. There's some things that patriotism goes a little deeper with. We've come to the place today where our kids are being taught nothing but a global view. Nationalism, America first, is being lost in our country today. From the early grades of school on, it's the worldview. It's the big picture. I don't like this commercial that's been on since 9/11. Well, 9/11 brought back a sense of patriotism for a while. I remember you could go by construction sites and see a flag flying from the top boom of a drag line. And you know what? It scared the liberals because there was a resurgence of a grassroots movement in America after 9/11. And they've been trying to put that fire out ever since. And they've done a pretty good job putting it out. I don't like that commercial that pops up on TV. It's not selling anything. It shows every nationality, every race, standing there saying, "I am an American." All right, that's fine. If you crossed our borders and come into our country, legally be a good American. But bless God, it is America. And you need to understand that it was founded by who we call Americans today. I think about when our president went over and made his big speech at Cairo, and he told Cairo, Egypt, and he told them over there, America owes a lot to the Muslims of building our country. And I wonder how I missed that. They sure didn't come over in the Mayflower. They were not at the Alamo. Amen. I'm just simply saying to you, there's perversion today that's taken away from America. And what's happening today is they're separating God from country. If you're going to be patriotic, it's God and country. That's what it is. God and country. I'm saying to you today, you just can't wave the flag for America without realizing America's God made the difference. And the truth of the matter is, when we pledge that flag, we say, "Under God." And when you heard the choir sing a while ago, "In God we trust." And when we lose that, we're going to lose the country. And we are losing it for that very reason. Right up here in North Florida, the Panhandle, Santa Rosa, the school system up there where the judge is ruled to take every mention and every reference out of the public schools concerning God. The ACLU is still in court. Some patriotic lawyers are fighting back, but they are trying to take every reference. They even told the kids, the principal told the kids in a school, that you can't say to somebody, "God bless you." If they sneeze, say "good luck" to you. Isn't that something, folks? America? By the way, check out Lady Luck. That was a pagan goddess. Check out the pagan gods that are being elevated while the true living God, the Lord God Jehovah, is being debased and put down. That's what's going on. But they're honoring false religion today. Franklin Graham, speaking up a lot better, I think, than his dad did, has said some things. He said the Muslims are infiltrating all the places in America, from the Pentagon and government. He said they're getting in the high places and getting in control. And they even stopped him from praying, you remember, at the Pentagon because of he'd said something against Muslims. Let me read something to you here. I picked this up. New Muslim U.S. attorney said Israelis are like Nazis. He's led marches against Israel and shouted out praise for the name of a terrorist leader, and yet he has been placed, as of May of this year, as the new assistant United States attorney for the Eastern District of Michigan. Where are our brains? What are we doing? Here's one here. Here you have, what's her name, Janet Napolitano, or whatever her name is. She's placed some in Homeland Security. Now, how do you get this? Muslims in charge of Homeland Security. Two men, devout Muslims, I'm reading it. She pointed out when she appointed them that they were Muslims. This is a big thing. We're pluralistic. No, you're stupid. Stupid. Go on, here's another one. Alakan is the name of one. He's associated with the Muslim Public Affairs Council, agency working for the civil rights of American Muslims. These two men have top clearance. That means the secrets they can get into of you and I can't get into. And she is also firing, Janet is also firing, or going to investigate and fire, if it's true, some border agents who work for her because they are allegedly, get this, profiling Muslims crossing into the United States. Wonder what they're supposed to be doing, counting the birds out there in the trees, I reckon. And on it goes. ACLU defends Sharia. They are in court against any state that has banned Sharia law. Three states have, three states are in court. Do you understand there's 81 courts right now in England practicing Sharia law? And that's what they want in America. Say, what are you saying? I'm saying we've lost our patriotism. I'm saying old-time Americans would not put up with this. And I'm saying that today we are hurting because we're separating from our patriotism God. It's okay to pop the firecrackers, but don't mention God. The truth of the matter is this country's only great because of God, been blessed of God, and without God we'll fall like other nations have. We're in darkness because we've lost the patriotism, we've lost the principle of thrift. So what do you mean? I mean, how about the old saying you memorized when a kid, penny saved is what? Penny earned? Well, today it's tax and spend. Today it is finding, government is finding every way they can to get more tax money from the citizens. And the only jobs that's being created basically are government jobs, because that's exactly what is going on. It's what we should call illegal plunder. You understand what I mean? I don't remember her name. There's an actress that needs to cover up. She's in the news a lot. I say actress, I don't know what she is, singer, whatever she is. Is it Lohan? Somebody help me. What's the first name? All right, I'm not going to incriminate you with knowing all that, Carrie. But even she said they ought to quit printing money. Even they put it on the news because she said it now. And I don't know what her merit badge is for fame. But anyway, even an actress or whatever she is saying that made the news, but it's the truth. The truth is we're being plundered. You say, how did that happen? Well, if inflation comes in and they keep printing the money, when you go to the grocery store, you take more of your paper money and you come back with less. So you've been ripped off. You've been robbed. That's what it amounts to. Tax and spend, illegal plunder, print more money. George Soros is a liberal billionaire that is controlling so much on the liberal side, financing so much today. He has got a meeting scheduled with a bunch of leaders that are supposed to get in, and his whole theme, and it's not getting much publicity, but his whole theme is we're going to change the economical part of the world to a different system. Well, I read that in the Bible, didn't you? Huh? Try Revelation 13. Try the number 666. Try the business of what's going on. New economy, brother. What's going to happen in the new economy is we are in a heap of trouble. That's what it amounts to. Sad truth is, but this guy, he'll get away with it. He's doing some destroying rights. Americans are losing their rights today. That's why it's dark. I'm talking about property rights. If you think you own your house, just don't pay the taxes on it. You'll find out who owns it. And they're continually increasing them. They're finding every gimmick, every way, and you're seeing some ads on TV now to try to take away guns. They're trying to play this game that the terrorists can come over to our gun shops and our gun shows and buy guns. You think that's where the terrorists are getting their guns from? I mean, we're not quite that dumb yet. But they're using that for an excuse to try to say, then we shouldn't have the right for the regular common Joe American to go down to the gun show or to the gun shop, and it's gotten plumb silly. I was in a sports store a few days ago. I took my son there to buy some BBs. And I thought, why am my grandson there to buy some BBs? Stephen corrected me. If I'd have took him in there, he'd have wanted something more than that, I guarantee you. But I went there to get him some BBs, and I thought, while I'm in here, I'll pick up some 22s. I've got a rifle somewhere hid away they hadn't stole yet. And I couldn't find any. I find out they got them behind the counter. You've got to go through the UN and sign your life away and have your picture made and everything else to buy a few 22s. Say, what you got in mind? There's a couple of squirrels I'm fattening up at the house. Now, I'm joking around some with you, but we've gone crazy on this thing of losing our rights and just being so apathetic about it, we don't seem to notice it. The old proverb about putting the frog in the warm water and turning up the heat till he's boiled. My fellow frogs, we're boiling and don't know it. Sad truth is, we're going to sleep. Israel here is bemoaning their troubles. Their sins have separated them from God. They're crying, they're groping in darkness. They're in trouble, and I feel sorry for them here. But they're in trouble because they lost their freedom. Somebody has made an accurate statement. All we have to do to lose our liberty or our freedoms is for good men to do nothing. Just for good men, not the bad ones, but for the good men to do nothing. We're losing our property rights. Gun rights are going. Now, I'll say this. There's a lot of rednecks that say, you're going to get my gun when you pry my dead fingers away from the trigger. Hey, they'll do that. That's not the answer. The answer is to act before then. And I hope some folks will wake up and do so. I fear for my country. I love my country, but I fear for it. I fear we're doomed because the old-fashioned American that wanted to work for his living, earn his way, had the work ethic, would go to church, live a decent life, be a good neighbor to live by, they're fading away fast. And in their place, we've got government-educated, TV-indoctrinated, Hollywood-intoxicated young people that's just for self and self alone, waiting for somebody else to pay the bills for them, waiting for the government. It's not government anymore, it's government. They made a god out of government to the place that government is supposed to take care of me. Oh no, my friend. We didn't get what we got that way. We didn't become a free nation that way. We have not been the blessed nation that way. We had some principles of God that we stuck by and stood by, and God is blessed. That's the way we became America to start with. Oh, we got a crowd out there. Ego and self. Well, I'm on Twitter and I'm on Facebook and I want you to know all about me, world. Here I am. I'm sure you were dying for my next message or my next picture. Need to get off of Facebook and get your face in the book. Amen? That's what you need. In fact, just measure your time. Say you're meddling. I love meddling, brother. Just put your face in the right book. It'll make a lot of difference. Oh yeah, we've lost the principle of thrift and we're in darkness. We're groping in darkness. We've lost the purity of character. Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. They tell me, one of the ladies told me this morning, I think Sister Carlisle said, you know that trial is going on today. Do you reckon there's somebody going to miss church to watch and see what happens to, what's her name, Casey Anthony, is that her name? Hey, that's a picture of a condition we're in as a nation. Jesus said it, come to the last days where legitimate affections are messed up. I mean, I can't imagine a mother losing a baby for, what was it, 30 or 40 days without reporting it. I have seen very little of that, just to replay some of it on the news. I can't imagine the lack of character that I see in families today. You read about mothers killing babies. Man, when I was on the farm, you didn't mess with the old setting hen when she had the babies running around. Or with the old hog when the little piggies was with her. That was a dangerous thing. But in America, the most dangerous place for a baby to be is in the mother's womb. Sad. No wonder we're groping in darkness. Lost purity of character. In the homosexual scene. Did you see where the airline pilot got in trouble because he was joking around about gays? Understand, if he's going to keep his job, he's got to go to school to get deprogrammed and correctly programmed. Whatever happened to freedom of speech? Whatever happened to saying out openly what the Bible says? And the Bible says that filthy sin is an abomination unto God. And that's what it is. The sinner can be saved through the blood of Jesus, but God hates that filthy sin. But we're teaching our kids now. Did you see in California where they passed the law now? They got to put it in the early grades curriculum to teach the youngest kids the attributes and benefits that the homosexuals have brought to America. I'm not lying to you. That's news right now. California passed it. The governor, who's suspect with me anyway, has signed it already. Oh yeah, Jerry Brown, is that his name? I'm still exercising free speech while I got it. You understand that? Amen. Anyway, the kids in kindergarten are supposed to learn that a family can be two men, two daddies, and two mommies. And this group has helped us build America. That's a lie. That's a lie. Out of the pit of hell. New York just passed the gay marriage thing. Did you see it? And I guarantee you, in the back room, some palms were greased. Some votes were bought. And that's why we're in darkness, folks. The lack of character. But I want to say something. This whole chapter doesn't only deal with the darkness. It deals with the light breaking. See, in Isaiah, you have some prophecy. And while the church age is skipped over, basically, you can hardly find it here in chapter 59. Maybe it's referenced in about the third verse of chapter 60. But what you have is the day when the sun rises, brother. When the sun rises in the morning for Israel, the kingdom that God prepared for him is coming. And I like the fact that Isaiah don't leave us in darkness. He tells us about the light. The dawn is nearing. You can pick it up here. Pick it up, women. Oh, verse 16. And he saw that there was no man. God saw there was no man to help. By the way, there's none to help today. And he wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm, not man's, but his arm brought salvation to him. His righteousness, it sustained him. He put on the righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head. I like this. And he put on the garments of what? Vengeance. For clothing, and was clad with zeal in a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Some folks think you're going to slap God in the face all your life. He's going to repay one day. He repays nations. He repays individuals. And the day of vengeance will come. He will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. I could read on. Look at it, verse 19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west to his glory, and his glory from the rising of the sun, from west to east, back, glory of the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Hey, the enemy is coming in as a flood. He is flooding in. But that's not the last inning of the ball game. The Lord's going to lift up a standard. Look at it in verse 20. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion. Not maybe, not hope so, but shall come to Zion. And unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob saith the Lord. Look at it down in chapter 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But I like this word, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Listen, the sun's coming up in the morning. Amen. Malachi said, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. That sun is a type and a picture of the S-O-N, Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming back, as we started in the book of Revelation, coming back in his glory. He's coming back as the Redeemer of Israel. He's coming back as the King. He's coming back as the one you and I know as Savior. Yes, but he's coming back and taking a kingdom. And all the enemy out there that's putting down God today, he's going to repay. He's coming back in vengeance. You know, we Christians need to wake up. We haven't lost. We're on the winning side. Do we understand that? Strange thing about us Christians. We act like, and sometimes looking at our face, you'd think so, that we're going to the bad place instead of the good place. The folks going to the bad place, they're out there shouting and living it up. Something wrong there. You and I ought to know the joy of the Lord. Amen. We're the victorious ones. We know the sun's coming up in the morning. Yes, it's dark now, and yes, we've been bemoaning, and yes, we ought to fight against it, and yes, we're occupied till he comes, and yes, there's no reason to sit down and ignore it. We ought to be contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints, but bless God, we know how it turns out. The sun's coming up in the morning. Amen. Christians, we ought to wake up. No telling what we could do if we haven't psyched ourselves out. Say, boy, I come to church down there and I agree with you, Pastor Carter. How about agreeing with me on the job? How about showing some influence for Jesus where you work, where you go to school, where you live? That's where it's needed. Amen. It's okay to come to church and fill your spiritual tank, but get out there and make some mileage for God where you can influence somebody else. Amen. Christians, we need to wake up. We do more than you think. I read a story, and I guess it's true. Well, it was written for truth. 1906, the earthquake hit out in San Francisco. And, of course, shook buildings up. Fire started. It was a bad time. A lot of buildings were wood back then. And there was a man that had an accident, and he was paralyzed. He could move his neck a little, his hands a little bit, but he was basically paralyzed. His friends come to his house, and they took him out on his cot because they were afraid his building would also catch on fire. They took him out on his cot, and they took him to a little park not too far away into safety, and they left him there, but they also packed a couple of his suitcases with his goodies, with the things that was valuable to him. And they set them down and went back to help some other folks. So there he is on the cot and a couple of suitcases. Another man came up and he looked and saw what a shape he was in, and he said, are those your suitcases? He said, yes. He said, not any longer, they're mine now. And he picked them up to leave with them. And here's this paralyzed man laying on the cot. And his story was, it made me so mad. I felt blood surging through my whole body. He said, before I knew it, I forgot I was paralyzed. I jumped up, picked up a piece of wood, and hit him in the head and got my suitcases back. He said, I didn't know I could do that. I thought I was paralyzed. Rest of the story was, he carried his own suitcases when he left. I'm just saying that to make an application. We Christians act like we're paralyzed. It wouldn't hurt us to get mad enough to do something. It wouldn't hurt for us to get mad enough to have the blood surge through our veins again for America and for what's wrong and what's right and stand for what's right. It wouldn't hurt us. It might do more than you think. You might get off that bed before you know it. The truth of the matter is God's looking for somebody to still represent him, still witness for him, still stand for what's right, still show Christian character. God's still looking for somebody. You know, that's why the enemy fears us so bad. They know we have the truth. The truth still works. We're just having a hard time getting it through all the fog that the world's got out there. It still works. Muslims are still getting saved when they hear the truth about Jesus. False religion is being put down where the truth gets in. We're supposed to be salt and light. We are not whipped. We are the winners. And God raised up a nation that turned to him in the early days. And through our wars and through our hard times, we had people in America turning to God. And that's what we need today. The sleeping church could turn back to God and no telling what would happen. Instead of losing our rights, instead of having elected politicians steal from us, steal our rights away, and represent the wrong crowd, if we rose up in righteousness, we'd find out that God would bless and we'd see some victories. And as we celebrate this 4th of July, we ought to give that some thought. We know Jesus. We know the one that is the answer. We have the answer. We can tell that old boy out there that's slaving away and working that there's good news that Jesus died for his sins. We can tell the dope addict, we can tell even the sex pervert there's a way out. There's a way out, and the way out is Jesus. And the fact that he died for our sins on the cross of Calvary, that he wants to be our Savior, that he'll bring a power within us when we receive him to help us live what we can't live without him. He's still the good news. He's still the answer. And what we need today is get that answer out like never before. The gospel works as nothing else. No other comparison to it. No other comparison. I say to you, if you want to do something for America, do something for God. If you want to do something for America, point people to Jesus. That's where the victory is at. I say to you today, as I preached again about the mess our country's in, the answer is just what these Jews found. There is a Redeemer, but we got to turn back to him. He's not going to compromise with us. We got to go his way, not our way. I challenge you today, let's do what we can do. Somebody says, I can't do anything. Yes, you can. You can pray, you can witness, and you can live the Christian life. And the day will come if we don't. And the rapture doesn't come soon. The day will come this church right here and what you just heard from this pulpit will be outlawed. We better stand up while we can stand up. I tell you what might be a good invitation. I don't know if you can find it in the book, Brother Cruz. Just thought.